tonight. I'm going to finish up on the series tonight on God's strength. The Holy Spirit has kind of told me that that's what I'm to do. And I want to start off with this little poem by Samuel F. Smith. Don't know how this book is. It's one of my mother's. We're going through things. It's called Daybreak. The morning light is breaking, Lord. Another day is here. Life's problems must again be met with heart and vision clear. And that hit me about the year 2020 and what Sister Shirley's been talking about. Strength for today, I ask, dear Lord. Strength only for today. Renew my faith, my hope revive, illuminate my skies of gray. For yesterday is past, dear Lord, and tomorrow I may never see. Today alone lies in my grasp to use or lose for eternity. Help me to lend a helping hand to dry the fallen tears, to give to all whose life touched mine some comfort or of good cheer. Just for today, day by day, courage and strength I pray, garnering the good, forgiving the wrong, till I've lived my last day. And where that struck me is, God's strength is there for every day that we have. But do you know that the only day we actually need His strength is what we're going through right now, is today. We know that He holds the future, whether He holds it with us in heaven or whether He holds it with us down here. But the only time we really need that strength is today. And when we wake up the next morning, guess what? His mercies are new and His strength will be there again. Right. But we have people who think, oh my goodness, this is going on. I don't know if I have enough strength to get through it. You look at the days ahead, maybe something very negative has happened. And if you're not careful, you focus more on what might be ahead than what is actually going on now. What we have to trust in is if we wake up in the morning and we face tomorrow's life issues, God's going to be there. And the next day, and the next day. But the day we need to live with Him is today. We can't live with Him only in the future. And we can't live with Him only in the past. Miss Laverne?
Okay. You may be going.
That's all right.
Are you going to Deuteronomy?
No.
Okay. Well, anytime you know, and I deal with this, you talk about being anxious or waking up, you know that's one of the curses of the law.
That's right.
And when you read it in the Amplified under Deuteronomy 28, it says, you know, this is how you're going to feel. It says, among those nations you shall find no ease. There shall be no rest for the sole of your feet. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart, failing of eyes from disappointment of hope, fainting of mind and languishing of spirit. Your life shall hang in doubt before you day and night. You shall be worried and have no assurance of your life. And in the morning you'll say, would that it were evening. This is what gets me.
Mm-hmm.
And at evening you'll say, would that it were morning, because of the anxiety and dread of your minds and hearts and the sights which you shall see with your own eyes. And, you know, that's the curse of the law that Jesus took
yes,
for us.
Yes, that's exactly right. We don't have to worry for tomorrow. We don't have to worry for the next hour. You know, not worry. Does God want us to plan? Does God want us to be aware and things like that? Well, of course He does. He, you know, we need to do that. But worry that something might happen in the next hour or something might happen tomorrow by the end of the week? No, because we have God's promises. And I hope that all of you that's been listening to this has sense. We do have the promise of God's strength in our life. We do have that assurance that when we don't think we can put our foot one in front of the other, or we can't come up with the next game plan, or we don't know what we're going to do, all we have to keep saying is some of the scriptures we've been talking about. The number one one is, God is my refuge and my strength. Period. Yeah. A very present help, which is present now. And here's a prayer of St. Patrick I came across too. I rise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eyes to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak to me, God's hand to guard me. Anything we need, He does it for us through God's strength to pilot me. God is not the co-pilot. We've seen those things. He is our pilot. But now, I have not known any pilot, for those who are out there, where they will come out and get you and force you to go on board and ride with them. You know, and God, He wants to do so much for us, but He did make us to have free will. And even though when that door of that airplane goes up at that time, it'll be back, the door will be open, but we might have missed something. His mercy says, oh, I love those children. I'll be back, and I'll be there. And that's a good pilot. That's a good God. That's a good Father. So I wanted to end with this teaching tonight on things that we get as Christians that we walk away with. We get so much that we walk away with when we rely on God's strength. And when we rely on God's strength, you can rest assured that these are some of the things that as Christians we're going to have in our life. And I could go into detail on many of them, but I'm not. I'm just going to kind of hit it and give you some scriptures. And if you want to go and read some more, you can. The first one is, when we rely on God's strength, we have a way to fight the battles of life. We have a way. He will provide us an escape, or He will provide us a way, or He'll provide us the strength. I can't tell you how He's going to do it. If you study the battles in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, which, you know, Miss Laverne is an Old Testament. I mean, she teaches from it all, but the one I sit under that I remember so well is her Old Testament teachings. And there was never, unless, and she can correct me, that's what I'm trying to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was never one battle fought, say, in this portion of Scripture, and then the next battle came along that was done exactly the same way. You know, there may have been, I don't know of any written, but, you know, the Battle of Jericho. Fought the Battle of Jericho by walking around the city seven times, blowing their horns, just like God told them to do. Right. There's Jehoshaphat praising the Lord. But is there another battle where He told the people to walk around the city seven times? They do. That's what they do. So I may be going through a battle, and someone else may be going through a battle that is like mine. But God is telling me to do it one way, and God's telling them to do it another. Is that wrong or right? It's what the Holy Spirit leads. Now, He will take those of us who have walked through battles, and I guess the battle I'll think of the most, or that comes back to me, is how close we came to losing my oldest granddaughter at the age of 4 with encephalitis. Okay, I know what I did when I was sitting in that hospital room with her. I know what I did. I know what I prayed. I know what I read. I know that we kept music on. I know what I did. And I can share that and encourage people and tell them, you know, you've got a really sick grandchild. God can heal that grandchild. That's what I want to get across, is God can heal the grandchild. Will He heal them like Allie was healed? Probably not. But will He heal the grandchild? That's what you do when you testify. You don't do it as to saying, this is the way you get your grandchild healed. The way you get your grandchild healed is to know the Word of God, believe on God, and that His promises are true. That's how you get your grandchild healed. But what you have to walk through sometimes, that's a personal thing between you and the Holy Spirit. The same way with Jesus Christ. He healed several blind people. He healed quite a few blind people, but several of them were documented in the New Testament. And I know the one where he took the mud or the dirt and he spit in it and he made mud in his hands, and Jesus put the mud on the blind man's eyes, and lo and behold, he could see. And then there was another one where he just healed him. Yeah, blind Bartimaeus. He just healed him. And there were other healings that went on where he told him to go and dip in, you know, the pool. And then in the Old Testament, we have leprosy being healed different ways. Not everybody had to go dip. Yes, and some of them had to dip in the Jordan 7 times. I don't hear of any other lepers being healed quite like he did, that king did. So, yes, learn the principles of all this, but it doesn't mean that we'll all fight the battles the exact same way. But we both have the same, we all have the same leader for Christians. We have the same leader, we have the same Word of God, the Holy Bible, and we have the same promises. And that's what you hold on to. But realize that God will be in the battle with you however he decides to take you through it. And so I want to read from Psalms, and that's where I'm kind of going to stay at tonight. Psalms 18. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength. Arms me. So here we go into the battle. And in whenever the people went into a battle, they had some sort of weapons or armory. In the old times, it was arrows and spears and whatever. Now we have guns and all of that. And they call it, the men are being armed to go to war. Well, God, we're getting ready to go in a battle, and it says here, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. David's talking to God. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. Now, David, of course, is talking about true battles because he had to fight many in order to keep, you know, the country of Israel from the enemies that were coming over to take it over from, you know, from God. And most of us are never going to see a true battlefield as we think of it military-wise. And we do thank our military for trying, you know, for protecting our freedom and for protecting what can be protected. But what I see here when I read this, is that battle we have with Satan on a daily basis and things that Satan throws at us that we have to walk through and battle through. The same principles that David had in an actual physical battle, we can grab a hold of here in chapter 18 of Psalms and say, God, I don't have to worry about what I am going to face in battle today. I don't. Look, you've armed me with strength. You've done all these other things. And we can take each verse and talk about it. And that's where I said I'm not going to go into detail. I just want to encourage you. This is a good place to go if you're facing a battle to read and say, God, you promised me this and you have armed me. The verses I want you to grab a hold of is, you have armed me with strength. So he makes you battle ready is what he does. He makes you battle ready. And, you know, I'd like to say that as Christians, we'll never have to face an enemy. It's just not true. But I will assure you this, and this is without question, and I do have my pastors here to correct me on anything I say. I will assure you this, you will never face an enemy alone. You will never face an enemy alone. I would like to say you will never face an enemy. I can't do that. But I can tell you this with all honesty and assurity. You will never face that enemy alone. And that's what we have to believe in. Now, David, you know, he knew that he could trust God. And he gives the reasons here in chapter 18 as to why he can continue to trust God. And so sometimes we have to look to the past to be reminded, you know what, I trusted you there, God, and you were there, and I'm going to trust you in the present when I haven't seen what's going to happen, and I'm going to trust you for my future even though I don't know what future's out there. And we know that we can rely on his strength, and it's going to be there. So God is going to help us in our battles, and he will help. I'm here to tell you, he might. No, it's not a might. He will, absolutely will, help us fight our spiritual battles every day. You know, in the military army, some of those men who fight actually in the battles, they don't see the general. The general isn't out there walking amongst them or down in the foxhole beside them. They may never see actually the four or five stars generals, whoever's at the top, may never see them. But our God, who is as high can be, will be right here beside us in our day-to-day battles, be they little or be they small. You know, he sees things that we can't see with our natural eye. That's why we have to trust the Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Spirit sometimes. And we think, now, why would he have me to do that? Or, I mean, you ever had something that you just can't get rid of until you take care of it? And then after it happens, you think, oh, that's a wow moment. Well, see, that's the Holy Spirit unctioning us. If we can't see it with our natural eyes, we ask for God's spiritual eyes and the Holy Spirit to show us. Another verse that David does talk about, we're not going to turn to it, I'm just going to read some to you. It's Psalms 21:1, and I thought this was so wonderful. I was looking up about strength, and David, of course, is talking about an actual king. It's a little K in here, and it says, the king, of course, David was the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. We are to find joy in the strength of God, and we are to rejoice in the fact that the strength of God is there for us. And there's quite a bit in Psalms 21, but I just chose another verse, Psalms 21:13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. be exalted, O Lord. To be exalted means to be lifted up. And so here David is saying, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. The strength that we have in us exalts God. Because he gave it to us, and as children of God, we can exalt him because of the strength that he puts in us. And it says here that we are to sing and praise God's power. And so when we sing songs that have to do with strength, it's not just a song. That word strength is a very important part of our Christian walk. In Psalms 59, and I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense. We're talking about the battle now. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. God is my refuge and my strength. And here it says, for you have been my defense. We don't fight our own battles. A defense is something that fights it for us. To you, O my strength. And here David is giving God a capital S, which is one of the characteristics of God. So God is strength. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. So if you're facing a battle and you see that enemy coming, and part of you wants to have fear that rises up in our flesh, just put your hand up and say, the word says that God is my defense, and see a force field come in front of you, or a big shield, or however you want to see it. God is my defense. Who else can you say? God is my defense. He defends us in battle. You know, David tells us these scriptures so that we realize the strength of God in us, but to also remind us. One of the strongest things that we can carry with us in battle, and Miss Laverne talked about it, but I'm not going to get into it tonight, is the battle that Jehoshaphat, the way he battled, and praise and worship, praise was such, singing and praising was such a big part of that. But David is telling us here that not only should we realize the strength of God, but that we need to rejoice in the strength of God. And to bring praise and worship and singing into our lives. And Miss Sherry was singing for everything she was worth when I walked in tonight. And I said, amen. Because it does. It brings something into the atmosphere. Singing does. And Miss Laverne, being the praise and worship leader, she has some great teachings on the strength of praise and worship itself. Well, take that praise and worship and multiply it by the strength of God, and what do you have? Those enemies are going to have to turn around before they get any farther. I mean, they will. Music is powerful to the bad and the good because Satan grabs a hold of some of it. Yes. Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. But for Christians, singing the right songs and praising God with song and music and instruments, it's one of the tools. It is the weapon of battle. And multiply that with the strength of God. And what a force we Christians are. What a force. That's true, because there was a time when people did not understand. And there are songs that really... You know, the one that I remember my grandmother would hum and sing is the little cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. That's not what the Bible says. It said it wasn't going to give us a cabin in the corner. We're going to have a mansion on the streets of gold. You know, and some, you know, other songs like that, too. And so it doesn't matter, you know, if they call it a Christian song or not, you still need to read the words. Yeah. And you need to feel the I don't know what you call it because I'm not musical at all, but not the lyrics, not the words, but the music, the actual melody or whatever, the music. Because sometimes you can hear music and it kind of makes you feel strange or something. Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. So, but you get a hold of the good ones, honey. You've got a great tool right in the middle of battle. So when we might want to worry and fret about the battle that we're either right in the middle of or the one that we think's going to come, just remember that His strength is going to help us sing and praise for joy in the midst of the battle. Fleshly wise and human wise, we really, most people cannot sing and praise God in the middle of a battle. I mean, or sing and praise and rejoice anything in the middle of a battle. But Christians should show something different when we're sitting in the hospital, when we're sitting in a waiting room. They should be able to look at us and see something is really different here. You know, that person's handling things a lot different. I wonder how. And it's a great opportunity then to give your testimony. Another thing that we get from relying on God's strength in our life, and Miss Laverne mentioned it, and I mentioned it probably in the first or second teaching I did, that God is a present help. A present help. And so in Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to read verse 11, it says, God is our refuge and strength. It's the first verse that I said when I started these Wednesday night ones this time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Oh, that just sounds like horrible times, don't it? Sounds like major earthquakes and tsunamis and all that horrible weather. But you know, that's how it can feel like inside our bodies and minds and hearts when we're facing a battle, when we have circumstances coming. Our earth be removed. What happens sometimes when a marriage falls apart and people leave or people are taken by death and we feel like our whole earth has been removed, something major has been removed from our life, or even if we lose a job, you know. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, life can carry us on some treacherous rivers and roads and things like that. And though the waters roar and are troubled, and though the mountain shakes with its swelling, our lives can be shaken to the core. Our daily lives can be shaken as hard as we ever see anything shaking. And yet, it says, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then all this stuff happens. And yet, does that change verse 1? No. That doesn't change verse 1, even if all that does happen. And in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And so here David talks about what God is, and then there's even more about all the things that happen, which I'm not going to get into. And he talks about the desolations, and he talks about wars, and he talks about all this stuff that happens. And yet, in verse 11, he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In spite of it, grab a hold of that verse. God is our help in every situation. God's strength holds up. Remember when I taught last week on the word bedrock? that stone in the earth that doesn't move easily. And it said that, and David compared his God, our God, his God then, but our God, that it is like the bedrock that does not get moved. And what song did we learn when we were children about the wise man builds his house upon the rock and the foolish man builds his house upon the sand and the rain came tumbling down? And we learned that from an early age. And somewhere along the way, we forget the truth of those children's songs. Sometimes it probably would behoove some of us to go back and learn. You know, like last week, we talked about Jesus loves me. I am weak, but he is strong. And as children, we feel weaker. We depend on the adults in our life. We know we can't, you know, drive a car. We can't make money. We have to, as children, we depend on the adults in our world. And if you went to church and learned that song, you should learn that, yeah, I'm weak, he's strong. And that as children, we can look up at, you know, oh, God's big and he's strong and I'm a little kid. Guess what? We're still children of God. That hadn't changed. I don't care how old you are. And we are still weak and he is still strong. None of that's changed. That all that is still truth. Another thing that we get by relying on the strength of God and not on ourselves. You know, like I mentioned last week, that it seems like this millennial age or whatever they want to call it, you know, I come against any of that negativity. It talks about that portion of generation, you know, because my grandchildren are part of that generation, but I do not claim, I do not, you know, worry about it. I claim that my grandchildren are of the Lord. But, you know, they talk about this generation and things that they're seeing that's coming out of it. And one of them is we can take care of ourselves and that we shouldn't let nobody get anything over on us. And we're all so big and bad and we're all our own gods and we should be able to make our own decisions and we all should have rights and our rights shouldn't be breached and all that mentality that goes along with it, to where it's almost to the point we don't need God. We're taking care of everything ourselves. Now, Martha does not say that's the truth. I'm saying that some people's mentality. They don't need God. Why should they need God? They can take care of everything themselves. That's because they never think past living. They never get to their state of eternal being. What are they going to do when they die? You know, are they going to get themselves to heaven? Do they even believe that they'll go to hell? So they don't seek out God for salvation to begin with because they don't need God. They feel like they really don't need him. But you know, if we learn to rely on the strength of God, do you know that we are going to have a way to feel that we are good enough? Have you thought of that? Because of his strength, we're going to feel good enough. Some of us, even though we were raised in Christian homes, we were raised with quite a few laws and a different mentality about God that we never thought we were going to be good enough to please him. And guess what? In our flesh, we aren't. I mean, he proved that in the Old Testament when he had the law brought in, and then he stopped the law with Jesus Christ and said, listen, I've let you all try to do it your way for this long so that you can see you will not ever be able to handle this in your own power and your own flesh. You have to have something more. You all won't be able to do it. So then he sent Jesus Christ, who said, I get rid of the blood sacrifices, I get rid of all the Levitical law, I get rid of all that, and I'm ushering in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what makes us good enough. And that is the only thing that makes us good enough. And even though we know that and we sit under it, sometimes the old reels that we picked up in our past comes back and says, It doesn't happen to me quite as often. You wouldn't believe when I first started teaching, Satan would start on Monday, and he wouldn't quit talking to me to Friday, and then it would start all over again. And he would tell me before I taught on Wednesday nights, "You really think you're good enough to be a teacher? You really think you can go and teach the word? Do they know about your past? Do you know? Have you forgotten your past?" Well, yeah, I'm supposed to forget my past. God's forgotten it. So why do you keep bringing it up? But I'd let him do, 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 do. So then when I was teaching, I guess the Holy Spirit, you know, the strength of God, I would do pretty good until I got in my car. And as soon as I got in my car, that little demon of Satan's was sitting right here. And he'd say, "Why did you say that? Do you know what they're going to think? You know, I don't think they probably got anything out of it." I mean, you wouldn't believe what he would say. And then every day, yeah, pastor can believe it. I can't believe pastor would ever think that. But because what Satan wants to do when he sends those demons to us, "You're not good enough for God. Ha, 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 ha. You're not good enough for God. Why don't you just give up and quit?" And so many people buy it, Miss Phyllis. And it is so sad. It is so sad.
A person used the reason that they quit going to church, the reason they quit serving God, is because I just couldn't live up to it.
Right, yeah. Couldn't live up
couldn't
to
live
it.
A Christian life.
But see, the thing is, we don't have to live up to anything but believing in God and having faith in Him. It's His strength
right.
That keeps us good enough.
And it starts changing the way we are.
Yes, it
but
does.
If we try to change ourselves, we end up in the same spot we started.
That's exactly right, because we're not supposed to change ourselves. We are weak. It is His strength that changes us.
And when you were talking a while ago about the millennials, basically, when you follow that line of thinking and feel like that you have your rights,
mm-hmm.
Well, everybody else has their rights,
mm-hmm.
And if your rights conflict with their rights, it comes down to the old saying, only the strong survive.
That's right.
And unless we are willing to give up some of our rights to bring order to life, all life will be is an attempt by us to be strong enough to keep somebody else from taking us down.
That's right. But the strength of the Lord, if we rely on the strength of the Lord, we're not relying on ourselves. We don't have to have that way of thinking. We are not big enough to take care of ourselves. No. Negative. Yeah, it is the truth. It is the truth. And I want to read now from Psalm 73 and verse 26. And when I was going over this right before I came here, the Holy Spirit hit me here, and I'm going to go ahead and share Psalm 73, 26. "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Even though our flesh feels like it's failed and our heart feels like it's failed, we still can feel good enough because of the strength of God." But when I was reading this, what hit me very strongly is this is for someone. And I know in my heart who I believe it's for, but it can be for other people too. The Word of God is not just for one person. This is also about a physical heart and physical flesh that is failing. So if there is anybody out there who has gotten a really bad report about their heart, and maybe they've been told that the doctors can't fix it all for you, and your report is not good, you can hold on to this verse for your physical heart healing as well as you can hold on to it for your spiritual heart healing. And that is a word for somebody. God's strength. God is the strength of your physical heart as well as he is the strength of your spiritual heart. And it is going to be okay. That's for somebody. I got it strong. I think I know who it's for. But since we're on tape, I don't want to, you know, point out people. But there's other people out there, too, that maybe just recently you've got a report. Your heart's in trouble, and I don't know really what medicine can do for you anymore. Well, you take this verse, you write it down, and you memorize it. And when those chest pains come, and that shortness of breath comes, and the fear that comes with all of that, and your doctor says, I don't know what else to do, get your affairs in order. You grab a hold of this and you say, God is the strength of my heart. And that is a word for somebody. Grab a hold of it. But it's also for our spiritual heart that will help our flesh. My heart, my flesh and heart fail. David's saying, in my flesh, I get scared. In my flesh, I get mad. In my flesh, I can't do this, God. I can't do this, God. In my flesh, I had an affair. In my flesh, I had a man killed. In my flesh, I mean, poor old David now, he made some mistakes. So his flesh failed. And he could say, my flesh failed God. My heart failed God. The only thing about David, and when I think David's talking here, is my heart may fail, is like that fear that comes on where you just can't stay with the game, because it says that David was a man after God's own heart. And even though his flesh reacted so, what we would think, David is a man after God's own heart, and he has an affair, and he has a man killed, and he does this, and he does that. And yet, God looked upon him with favor. Why? Because David believed in the strength of God and not in the strength of himself. That's what he's saying here. My flesh is going to fail, Lord. My heart's going to fail, Lord. But you, God, are the strength that's going to keep my heart and flesh going in the right direction. And you're going to be my portion for how long? Oh, forever. Forever. You're going to be my portion forever. God's strength never runs out. He never gets tired at the end of the day. It never lessens. It never gets weaker for any reason. His strength is powerful and it never changes. Another place I want to go to is Psalms 84, 3 through 5. And here, when you rely on God, guess what you have? You ever feel like you don't fit in anywhere? Ever in your life have you felt that? You know, you don't fit in. You really don't belong anywhere. You even get things in your mind that your family don't want you around. And a lot of times that's based on the expectations of your family and your performance. I just don't fit in. I'm lonely, God. I don't fit in. I don't have no friends. Nobody loves me. My father, if we ever had a pity party, my father did not let us have a pity party. And after I grew up and I understood his life, which was one of the roughest, harshest, abusive childhood lives I have ever heard. And then he had the attitude that he came out with. I mean, but we would start having a pity party. He said, oh, nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. I'm just going to eat worms. And he would say, you know, go eat worms. You know, because he was sitting there thinking, I've never beat you all. You all have never seen me come home drunk. You've never been without food. You've never been left alone by yourself for days on end because the parents that were out doing what... I had wonderful parents, but sometimes I just would have a pity party, and he wanted to set me straight.
You know, we are living in a time of victim mentality.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And the more I agree with that. You are, the more popular you are, mm-hmm. or more people look at you like, man, they, you know, they got it because they're a victim.
Yes.
And there are no victims in Christ.
Oh, no, no.
We are victors.
Right, victors. Oh, that's good. That'll teach. When you feel like teaching that, that'll teach. But what we get is we get a home for our heart. And when I mean my heart, I'm not talking take your heart out. I'm talking that heart where you feel like you belong, where you feel loved, where you feel accepted. Accepted. And so in Psalms 84, 3 through 5, it says, even the sparrow has found a home. A home. See, there's a difference. In my mind, there's a difference between house and home. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. And he's talking to God. He's saying, we are blessed men. And I mean men and women. We are blessed men when we believe in the strength of God. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage, which is a journey, as they pass through the valley of Baca. And that's talking there. But I wanted to get in there. Whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we start on a pilgrimage. It will ultimately end up in heaven. We know where the final destination is going to be. But while we're here on earth, we just don't sit and wait for that to happen. He wants us to go on a journey. And not we'll be on the same road in regards to our beliefs in God and worshiping God and who God is. But what he calls us to do may be a little bit different, and we might be on a different road. He's with us all. Don't ask me how he can do it. He's God. I'm not going to figure that one out. But wherever we're walking, it should be his pilgrimage. He knows the plans he has for us. And he has called us to be ambassadors. And ambassadors do not stay in their home country. Did y'all know that? The ambassador goes to different countries to represent, let's say, the United States. If you're an ambassador from the United States, you are representing the United States in a foreign country. We as Christians, if we're called to the dollar market in Jamestown, Kentucky, that's a foreign country. And you can ask Sherry about it. Not everybody that comes around there acts like Christians or are Christians, right? Right. So they're not like a whole bunch of Christians there together. You're in a foreign country. You have the ability to witness. You are an ambassador for God at the dollar market in Jamestown, Kentucky. That's what you're called to do. And so you set your heart upon that pilgrimage to be the best witness for God that you can be at the dollar market. And you don't think that, oh, that's I'm not doing anything for God. Sherry, I want to give you this word. You stood up, and I'm going to give it back to you. What you're doing for God is as important to him as what Pastor Jerry has done all these years. And I'm not saying that pastor shouldn't be honored, because we do honor him. But when God looks at us and we're giving it everything we've got with what he has called us to do, be it cleaning toilets, vacuuming the rugs, whatever it is, God is so pleased with us. And we're doing a good job for him as ambassadors. So here, relying on him will give us a home for our heart. We'll find a place where we can always belong. If you feel lonely and you are thrown in the midst of a foreign country, and it is just you for a short period of time, and it will only be for a short period of time, do you know that you can call on God and you're going to feel like you belong, because he's a good, good father, and you can run to him and he's going to wrap you in his arms and he's going to make you feel like you belong? So, you know, when we say that we don't belong, nobody loves us, we're all alone, we've forgotten the one that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, who will always find a place for us to be. Our heart can go right to God. He treasures it. another thing that we get by relying on the strength of God is we get a place in His presence. A place in His presence. Psalms 105:4, it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength." Seek it. You know, just like it says in the New Testament, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you." It says here, "Seek the Lord and His strength." We are to cry out for it. God, give me your strength. I need your strength. I want your strength. Seek His face evermore. And when we seek Him and we call out to Him, we are literally in the presence of God. So by seeking out His strength, we are taking ourselves into the presence of God. Where can there be any more strength than in the actual presence of God? When we get into the Word of God and we read it and we're studying it, or we're doing our prayers, or we're singing our praise and worship songs, anything that ushers us into the presence of God will fill us up with strength, and we will walk away feeling stronger. I said God's strength never weakens. It never lessens. But do you know, if we don't watch what we keep putting in our mind and we don't keep that daily relationship with God, it's like any good marriage that falls apart. I don't care how strong it started out the first 10, 20 years. People divorce after 40 years. And you think, oh, that was such a strong marriage. Well, if you don't work on that marriage every day and you don't have a relationship with your spouse every day, that marriage can, what's one of the biggest things they say about divorce? We just grew apart. And then the marriage dissolves.
I just thought, Miss Martha, when you're studying David, and I know we've said this before, is that, you know, when he would come in, God, I'm depressed.
And he was.
But he didn't leave the way he came.
No.
And I think we need to make a promise to ourselves that whatever we're going through, that we're not leaving until we walk out of there victoriously.
That's right.
Because of the confidence we've got in the Lord.
That's right. That's a good point. I think David would have been diagnosed nowadays as a depressive. And some of them probably would have said that he was bipolar, because here he started out very depressed and discouraged. And then he leaves whatever scriptures way up, and they're going to say that the mood swings. No, that's not what it was.
No.
He battled. He was honest.
He was honest with God.
He absolutely was honest. But we have days we feel like David did.
Yep.
And what did David do when he had those days? He got into the presence of God and started talking to Him. He started reminding himself, even though he said it to God, God, you said, you are my strength and my shield. You said, well, God knows what he said. But David said it because he needed to get it back into his spirit, man. He needed to hear it again. And when he talked to God and sung to God and praised God and reminded God of his promises and all of that, he did walk away with strength.
You know, and the reason David did that is because he was a worshiper and a praiser.
Yes.
And he knew where his strength was. The joy of the Lord was his strength.
Right.
I can remember when I taught Psalms, and part of the requirement for that series was that you had to read Psalms. Well, most of us only know the good Psalms. You know, we only know Psalm 91, I will bless
Psalm
the Lord.
Psalm 23.
We know those good things that he said. But I had someone at one time made the comment, said, I never realized how depressed David got. You know why? When you read the taking everything into context, you know, but again, it's like we said, he got that way, but he knew where to go to.
Yes.
And he didn't leave until he got to.
That's exactly right.
Sorry, but
Holy Spirit, remind him.
You think about it, there it is. Sorry,
honey. And the last thing I want to talk about, there's so much more. Like I said, I had to condense it. The last thing that we get, that I want to talk about, that we get from relying on God, is we get a way of escape. We don't ever have to feel that the enemy, be it human flesh enemies or spiritual enemies, that we are ever backed up against a wall in a corner with no way out, and the enemy is standing there in front of us. You know, if you watch these old TV, like old detective shows and stuff, and the reason why I say old is I don't hardly watch anything other than old anymore. I really don't. There's just not enough new out there that catches my interest. But you remember when they're running down the alley, you know, let's say they're running down the alley and someone mean is chasing them, you know, and they get to the end of the alley and, oh, a good one I can tell you about. Lassie Come Home was on the movie channel the other day. And I love Lassie Come Home. I've seen it before. And she's running away from the dog catchers. I don't know if y'all ever watched the movie or know this part. But the dog catchers now is after her. She's already been through so much. She's gone all across rivers, and her feet have bled and all sorts of stuff. Well, she's running away from the dog catchers. They have that loop, and they're going to catch her and take her away and destroy her and all this stuff. And she gets to the end of this little alley that is nothing but brick all the way around it. And she's standing there, and here they come, and they've got their nooses they're going to put around her, and she's looking and she's looking, and all of a sudden she looks up and she sees this little bitty window, and she jumps up on it and goes through the window. Of course, she escapes, but when you first see it, when the way they film it, you don't see the little window, and she didn't see it right away because it was way up above. You know, she was looking here, and then she got to looking, and she found a way of escape, which might seem like a silly little thing. But what I'm trying to say is, when you feel like you're boxed into a corner, good Sherry, look up. Look up. And then when you look up, you say, there's no way I can get there. What have we been teaching on the last several Wednesdays? The strength of the Lord. He can reach down and pull you up. You know? So he will find a way of escape for you. Psalms 140, verse 7. O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. That word covered, when you do a word search on it, means sheltered. Sheltered. So we can read it as, O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have sheltered my head, or you have sheltered me in the day of battle. All right, if God shelters us, and it's his shelter, and it's his covering over us, guess who can't walk through that opening? Satan. I mean, if it's God's, they can only go so far. There's what they, y'all remember? There's the bloodline. They can't go across the bloodline, folks. Those enemies of Satan cannot cross the bloodline, the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and he said here, O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation. There's so much strength in just the salvation that God gives us. But one of the strengths is the blood of Jesus Christ, the power that the actual blood provides for us as Christians. And one of the things it does, it provides a way of escape for us. So those are some of the things that we get when we rely on the strength of God in our lives. Pastor?
You stopped in Psalm 84. You read the scripture, but you said that's all you did. In,
right.
Verses 5 and 6. Blessed is a man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca. Now, if you look in your margin, it says the valley of literally weeping.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but baca is a type of balsam plant that can survive in dry conditions.
Ooh, that's good.
Now, the thing about this is this. When the man whose strength is in God goes through the valley of baca, the valley of baca doesn't change him. He changes the valley.
Yes.
Because it says they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength.
That's good.
Each one appears before God in Zion.
That's good.
And that valley of, and this is, yeah, the valley of Baca, some scholars believe that it's also the same as the valley of Rephaim in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And listen to this reference. This is when David was in battle with the Philistines. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim, same one as the valley of Baca. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, the Lord said to David, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees, and it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, that you shall advance quickly. So then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord commanded him. And he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
There's one other place I want to read.
Yes, please.
I wonder if you were going to get there in Nehemiah.
I do know where he's going here.
Uh-huh.
I do know where you're going here. I tell you, there's just so much. You want to try to keep it within an hour?
When they discovered the book of the law, Ezra came out and he and the priests read the law to the people. And it made a great, tremendous impact upon the people. And it says in Nehemiah 8:8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. That's Ezra and the priests helped the people understand, comprehend. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And what they wept about was what they had been deprived of.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have anything to put their hope in. Then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, 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 yes.
Why would the devil want to steal your joy?
So you don't have no strength.
That's why praise and thanksgiving and exalting.
Right. That's right. It's like when Delilah cut Samson's hair. That's what Satan wants to do to us. He wants to cut our hair off, or whatever our source of strength is. That's where he wants to get to us on that. Because from the last several weeks I've been teaching, have you not seen the importance of the strength of God in our lives as Christians? Yes, Pastor?
And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. They were telling them to rejoice.
Yes, yes.
You know, and sometimes we think that, oh, now I remember. Now I remember what I was going to say a while ago.
I said Holy Spirit.
It had to do with what we're talking about, coming into God's presence. And a lot of times, we have problems coming into God's presence because we think we're not good enough to come into God's presence.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it may be just a, you know, it may be just a momentary thing. It may not be. I mean, we may know that generally speaking, but God, you know, I messed up. You should have heard what I said a while ago. Well, Joel, you think I didn't? I didn't know what you did. I didn't know what happened to you. I didn't say anything. Come on in here. We'll talk it over.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And a lot of times, we don't go before God because we feel guilty, we feel ashamed, we feel unworthy, whatever it is.
That's right. That's
and that'll
right.
keep us from God's presence.
Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that these teachings the last several weeks has been an encouragement to everyone who's heard them. And the Holy Spirit has me working on two. I think I know which one I'm going to bring next week. But stay tuned. The Holy Spirit will keep bringing things to us when we seek it out. Amen.